And as the big headline in the New York Times reads, breaking, U.S. gymnasts human. The women's gymnastics team seemed to falter in Tokyo, then came in second to Russia in the qualifying round. The U.S. men's basketball team lost its first game since 2004 to France. There are many victories. Swimmer Caleb Dressel led Team USA to a gold in the men's 4x100-meter freestyle relay, but a surprise for the women. So NPR's Leila Fadel is there. Start with U.S. swimmer Katie Ledecky in the 400 freestyle today.
Was expected to take that race, and it was quite an upset when her Australian rival Ariane Titmus beat her and took the gold. And Katie Ledecky said she fought her heart out for that race, and Ariane had a great swim, and as she won, we heard her shout out an expletive, kind of in shock. And they'll be going up against each other two more times in the races to come.
So that'll be something to watch. Ledecky, you know, set a record with the gold in Rio, so all eyes there. And we shouldn't, I mean, the U.S. is doing pretty okay overall. They're only behind China in the medal count. So what else are you watching? What else are people talking about?
Well, obviously, this is a very, very unique Olympics. The athletes are all performing without their fans. We saw Japan do really well in skateboarding, a new competition at the Olympics this year. They had winners in the street competitions, both men and women. A 13-year-old took that today, actually. One of the youngest Olympians ever, the youngest Olympian to take a gold medal for Japan. And obviously, upcoming women gymnastics. We're watching the U.S. soccer team and, you know, many more things ahead.
Well, and you talk about the you know, not having spectators there. Are athletes saying that this might be affecting them?
I mean, they're not saying it's affecting them. They talk about missing, having that sort of roar of excitement when they do something spectacular. We just spoke about having a huge upset in a race where Katie Ledecky was favored to win, but the Australian competitor, she didn't have her fans in the stand. She didn't have her family in the stand. That's all happening virtually. I think about Ahmed Hefnaoui, a Tunisian. He took only the fifth gold medal for his country ever. He had the slowest qualifying time in the 400-meter freestyle race, and he won that race. And the only person cheering for him was his coach, totally in shock. Mm-hmm. Usually, you would see Tunisians going crazy. And so right now there's a lot of silence in these venues that were built for thousands upon thousands of roaring fans.
Well, it's so interesting because right now Tunisia is in turmoil. Could use that win, political turmoil. I want to ask you about the German women's gymnastics team. They've been wearing full body suits. They say it's to counteract the sexualization of their sport. There's been focus elsewhere also on what the female athletes are wearing compared to, let's say, their male counterparts. Talk about the outfits.
Well, this is an Olympics where women have used their platforms, right, to speak about their rights and the way that they are treated in professional sports. And so the Germans wearing the unitards to compete is something unique. And that's also not something unique only to their sport. When you think about beach volleyball, for example, there's been a lot of talk about what those players have to wear, the small bikinis in order to play. And they're asking, well, why do we have to wear this? And the male counterparts don't have to wear the same sort of tight and very small uniforms. And so that's been a big topic, not just at the Olympics, but in sports in general.
Well, you've been reporting, and we also reported on athletes who are mothers are using the games as a platform, speaking out against discrimination, the lack of help they have with childcare. What kind of changes do they want to see?
Well, I think it's about them just being visibly both professional athletes at the top of their game and mothers. So the most famous of which, of course, is U.S. track star Allyson Felix at the top of her game, most decorated track and field runner in history. And she's been very public since becoming a mother in 2018 about the brand Nike trying to pay her less. She ultimately split with them. And now she's given out grants to professional athletes who are mothers so that they can have people watch their children when they go out to compete. You know, there are two Paralympians that I spoke to who are coming to Tokyo next month who got those $10,000 grants. And that, they say, makes a huge difference. They don't have to depend on a hodgepodge of unreliable babysitters. It's also about more than that as well. You know, women have to deal with a lot of things that their male counterparts don't when they decide to become mothers. Their bodies are their tools. Can they bounce back? The hard decisions on breastfeeding. I spoke to a Canadian boxer, Mandy Bougeau, who ultimately lost her fight and is out of the Olympics now. But she had to sue to get here because she missed the qualifier because she had planned her baby. And so when they canceled the qualifier due to the pandemic, she sued because she wanted to be considered with her pre-baby ranking and ultimately won and got here. And so a lot of people are just trying to create accommodations for women and for professional athletes who are mothers.
Talk about some of the women athletes and the U.S. women's gymnastics team, which, again, you know, they qualified in the all-around, but, you know, you could see the looks on their faces like it wasn't as good as they wanted, and Russia surprisingly passed them by a full point.
They didn't do as well as expected. I mean, you think about Simone Biles and the things that she's able to do. They didn't do as well, but you saw them speaking about how they didn't have the best day, but they still qualified and they plan to come back.
NPR's Leila Fadden in Tokyo covering the Olympics. Leila, thank you.
Thank you.